You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
Now praise the Lord. Y'all glad you came tonight?
Yes.
I'm glad you came too. Not that I wouldn't have preached to my wife and kids, but you know, y'all probably needed too. Turn with me, if you will, to Romans 5. This is a sermon that we started Sunday morning. And generally the way it goes here, we'll just start preaching something and wind up preaching for several services on it. We don't just get through, we just quit. Go home. So y'all come back. Brother Osteen used to say, blessed are the short-winded, for they shall be heard again. Amen? One good prayer for preachers is, Lord, fill my mouth with lots of good stuff and tell me when I said enough. Romans 5. Y'all catch those later. Some of you already get them. Romans 5. Of course, Romans is a book of justification. It's a book of being made right and holy and justified in the presence of God by what Jesus did in his death, burial, and resurrection. And we are here today because of Jesus. There's no question about that. You're not good enough. I'm not good enough. Only one person was good enough, and that person is Jesus. Only one person overcame, as that song we sang, overcame death, hell, and the grave, conquered the devil, rose with the keys of hell and death, and sat down at the right hand of God our Father to make good our salvation. Only one person could do that. His name is Jesus. Yes. Amen. Wasn't Buddha. Wasn't Muhammad.
Right.
Wasn't any number of religious leaders we could think of. No, Jesus was more than a religious leader. We didn't need a religious leader. We didn't need someone to guide us. We didn't need some example to follow, although he is all that. But that still wouldn't have saved us. We needed a Savior to save us from our sins. And that's where Jesus is set apart from all other religious leaders. Buddha didn't die for your sins. Muhammad didn't die for your sins. Even Moses didn't die for our sins. Or Jeremiah, Ezekiel, or Daniel. And God bless Peter, Paul, Mary. God bless them all. All of them. That was the same group, wasn't it? I was thinking the Apostle Peter, Apostle Paul, Apostle Mary. Mary, God bless her, you know, but she didn't die for your sins. And Paul, the apostle, didn't die for your sins, and Peter, the apostle, didn't die for your sins. Jesus died for our sins. We needed a Savior. Hallelujah, and he saved us.
Thank you, Lord.
He paid a price that you couldn't pay. He paid a debt he didn't owe. You had a debt you couldn't pay. And Jesus came and paid that debt. And Romans, of course, talks about that. Galatians talks about that also. Here in the fifth chapter, we started in the fourth chapter, kind of laid a foundation, then went into the fifth chapter. The first verse, I'm just going to read a few verses, and then we're going to start taking this apart because I'm reviewing somewhat here. I'm a notorious reviewer. I didn't need to amen on that, but that's okay. Romans 5, verse 1, therefore, having been justified by faith. Everybody say, having been.
Having
been. Now, see, this is not something we're trying to do or hope to do or cross our fingers, you know, and you never know what might happen. No, it says having been justified. Having been justified. Already done, went, and done it. Amen? Past tense. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God, he did what we couldn't do. And by faith, we've been justified. Justified, justified, never sinned. Think of it that way. The word justified comes from the Greek word that's translated righteousness. It's the same word. There's not two different Greek words for justified, justification, righteousness. It's actually the same word. And so we've been made righteous by faith. Everybody say by faith.
By faith.
Okay. And then he says, second verse, through whom, Jesus, also we have access by faith into this grace which we stand. Praise God, I'm standing. I'm not wobbling. I'm not wavering. I'm not doubting. I'm standing in this grace that God has made available to us through Jesus Christ. In fact, Jesus is the door into this grace. Faith is the key that opens the door. Because that's really what he's saying here. Through whom, Jesus, also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We get excited because we know what's coming. Hallelujah. I've been justified. I've been forgiven and made right with God by my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I rejoice in the hope of the glory of God that's coming my way. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. And so he's the door of the sheep. He's the way to heaven. John 14:6, Jesus said it. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Faith is how we get through the door. Faith is what connects us with Jesus. It's our faith in Jesus that opens that door to the grace of God, wherein we stand. Amen? In fact, John 3:16, real familiar scripture, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. So there's faith in Jesus that causes me to have life and also keeps me from perishing. I don't have to worry about hell. I mean, it gets hot in Texas. That's as hot as it's going to get for me. It's not getting any hotter than that right there. We had a lady, ladies meet here, Renee Garner. Y'all remember Renee, Dean Renee, good friends of ours. She got up and it was just burning up. They lived down in Corpus Christi at the time, and man, it gets hot in Corpus, let me tell you. You get closer to the equator, it gets hotter and hotter. And it was hot. Man, she was just having a miserable day temperature-wise, and it just dawned on her, you know what, this is as hot as it's going to get for me. And she thought, you know, I ought to throw a party. Make a cake, throw a party, call all my friends, and this is my thank God I'm not going to hell party. Amen. You always got something to rejoice about. Amen? We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Yes. We've got something better coming.
Glory to God.
Woo! Y'all heard that story about that woman with a fork? Want to be buried with a fork? I'm sure y'all heard that. You know, when they take the plate away at dinner, you hang on to the fork because dessert's coming. Well, she wanted to be buried with her fork because she said something better's coming. And people asking about the fork. She said, they were saying, well, she wanted to be buried with it because she said something better's coming and she wanted to be ready for it. Hallelujah. We got hope. Amen. We're not hopeless and helpless. We've got Jesus. We've got hope. Third verse says, and not only that, we also glory in tribulations. Now, He's not glorying for tribulations. We glory in tribulations. Why? Because we know we're coming out of it. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth us out of them all. Psalm 34:19 tells us that. Knowing this, that tribulation produces perseverance or patience. In other words, if you trust God and believe God and pray, you'll develop patience in tribulation. Now, tribulation is not sent by God. Pain and misery in your life is not sent by God. It's the devil trying to kill you. But God can turn everything for good to those that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. If you will pray in the midst of the trial, you'll come out stronger. The trial doesn't make you stronger. You praying and believing God makes you stronger. There are some people that don't pray and they get worse. There are some people who get bitter toward God when trials happen. The devil won that deal. But what you need to do is pray and believe God, glory in tribulations, knowing this, that the trial of your faith is going to work patience, hallelujah, that God's going to get you through, that when it's all over, you win, the devil loses, give him a black eye. And come out stronger. What he meant for bad, let God turn for good by trusting and believing God. Amen? So he says this, and perseverance or patience, character, and character hope. I think King James says experience. Experience is not always the best teacher, but there's something worse than not learning from experience. There's something worse than learning from experience, I guess, not learning from experience. I knew I got that right. And actually, experience, the reason it's not a best teacher is because it gives the test first and the answer is later. You know, you don't go through a lot of things if you'll just trust God and pray first. A lot of things we go through because we didn't pray. We didn't believe God. Then we had to get God to get us out of the mess. Getting quiet. That's Pentecostal church. Okay. But thank God, we do learn from experience. Amen. And the fifth verse says this, now hope does not disappoint. Aren't you glad we're not, Amen. This is not a pipe dream. We're not living in hope, dying in desperation. Praise God, we've got something coming, something better coming. We've got God's word on the matter. This is not a man that told us this. This is God that told us this. And God's not a man, He'd lie, or the son of man, He'd repent. If He said He'd do it, He's going to do it. He's the Lord God, He changes not. He's never lied, never going to lie. Something better is on the other side. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Ghost who was given to us. Now, aren't you glad that God's love has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost? And really understanding that love helps us to believe and trust in His Word. I know He loves me, therefore I know He won't forsake me. I know by the Holy Ghost that He loves me. more than a father loves me, more than an earthly father. Therefore, I know He's going to meet my need, and He's going to do what He says. Hallelujah. It is an understanding of love that causes me to believe His word. I can trust Him because I know His love.
That's right.
Amen? So hope doesn't make shame here. And then He goes on the sixth verse. This is what I want to get down to. Y'all ready? All the rest of that was free. That offering we took is for the rest of this sermon. Okay. Sixth verse. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. You were not strong enough to save yourself. You were not strong enough to pay the price. You had no strength when it came to being saved. But while you were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. I love that. He died for the ungodly. That was us. In fact, He carries the thought on the next verse, and He says, "For scarcely for a righteous man, will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Man, see, He didn't die for us because we were so good. Don't get that out of your thinking. He died for us because He loved us so much. He didn't die for us because we were so worthy. No, He died for us because He loved us so much. In fact, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were without strength, He came and died for us. He did what we could not do. He paid a price we could not pay. And He did it completely, totally out of His love. It was His deal, always has been, always will be. Salvation is God's deal. It's not your deal. It's not man's deal. It's not a man thing. It's a God thing. It's something God does and God alone does. And if He didn't make the step, if He didn't take the initiative and do it, you'd still be lost and I'd still be lost. So really, when you think about it, what else does He have to prove to us that He loves us? What else does He have to do? He's already proved He loved us in that while we were yet sinners, before we even cried, He died. Before we even called, He died. While we were still in sin. Don't everybody get excited now. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrated His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, he's making a point. He's going somewhere with this. He's building. That's why you need to read the Bible in context, not just take one verse out. You ought to read a chapter. And then I'd suggest when you read a chapter, go back and read the book that the chapter's in. And then, you know, once you get used to doing that, read the Bible that the book's in. Hello. That'll keep you busy. But that'll put it in context for you. You know, what's the setting here? What's he coming to here? He actually is encouraging our faith. He's encouraging us to believe God and trust God. Encouraging us, of course, to serve God. But He's building our confidence. He's talking to people who have already accepted Jesus. He's talking to the Romans who have been saved, who have already called on Him. And He's writing back to them to encourage them in their faith, in their confidence, in their salvation. And He brings up the point that God did all this while they were still lost. He did all this while they weren't even trying to serve God. God loved them while they were yet sinners. Amen? Ninth verse. Much more then, everybody say much more.
Much more.
Much more then, having now been justified by His blood.
Glory to God.
Hello. Now we're no longer sinners. Now we're now justified by His blood. Now we're no longer lost, we're saved. Yes. Do you believe God loved you when you were lost? Mm-hmm. How much more now that you're saved?
Right.
You get the point? Do you believe as a lost person, someone without God, without hope, when you call on Jesus that He heard your prayer and He answered your prayer? Sure He did. That's how we got saved. How much more now that you are saved when you call on Him, will He answer your prayer? How much He cared for you when you didn't know Him, and now you know Him. How much more now? See the point He's making? He said He did all that while you were yet without strength. He did all that while you were yet sinners. Much more now. Much more than now being justified by His blood. Everybody say now.
Now.
Well, I can't wait one day I'll be justified. No, it says much more now having been justified. Much more, I've already been justified. How? By His blood. By His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. How many of you believe you are saved now? Well, if He's done that when you were lost and without strength and a sinner while you're yet sinners, He saved you. How much more now will He save us from the wrath to come? How much more now can we rejoice about the future? How much more now can we be excited about what happens on the other side of death?
Yes.
Much more now. Woo! Y'all get this on the way home and shout and holler and try not to run off the road. Try not to hit anybody on the way home when it comes alive to you. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath to come. I'm telling you, we can look to the future with courage, with faith, with hope. We can go to a funeral where a loved one has gone on to be with the Lord. And although we may sorrow, we don't sorrow as those that have no hope. Although we may grieve, we don't pick up a spirit of grief. We actually can rejoice in knowing where they are and that we will see them again. Hallelujah. And we know this is just for a moment, this grief, just for a moment, this sorrow, just a passing thing. But there's coming a day where there will be no more sorrow and there will be no more death and there will be no more pain. And God shall wipe away every tear from our eye. Hallelujah. For the former things will pass away and all things will become new. Amen? Because He loves us. Hallelujah. And we rejoice in the hope of this glory that's going to be revealed and come to us. For if, 10th verse, is this helping you? For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Everybody say much more.
Much more.
See, he keeps making this point. You know, don't you know God loved you when you were lost and you called on Him? How much more now does He love you now that you are saved, now that you are a Christian? Why do you doubt Him and why do you wonder if He cares about you, wonder if He hears you and loves you and help you now that you're saved and a child of God? Think about how He saved you when you were an enemy of God. Think about how He died for you while you were yet a sinner. Now you're a saint. Hallelujah, somebody. You are now part of the family. You are now justified. You've now been reconciled. Hallelujah. I mean, how much more? How much more? See, and we just scratch gravel, you know, and moan and beg and just hope God will hear us and help us in time of need. And it's like God's up there and sitting on that throne with all that gold and all that glory and all that help that we need and all that healing and all that strength that we need, and we're just crawling up there just trying to get just a little bit of it, and we're afraid God's going to slap our hand and say, no, that's mine, get away from that. As if God were that kind of God. Why, are you kidding? He gave it to us before we even asked for it. He came after us when we were lost. He sent Jesus to pay the price for our sin while we were yet sinners and enemies of God. That's what it says right here. The hound of heaven got on our trail.
Amen.
Woo. If when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. In other words, we have got a bright future, is what He's trying to tell us. We have reason to believe. We have reason to hope. We have reason to be excited because now we're saved. We've been born again. And not only, 11th verse, not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation.
Amen. God.
Now. Everybody say now?
Now.
I love that. Not going to happen. It's happened already. I've already been reconciled. How? By His blood. By His blood. In fact, as far as righteousness is concerned, I don't even have my own righteousness. I have the righteousness of God, which comes through the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. My righteousness is a filthy rags. I threw it away. I took His. I gave up on mine, and I received His. And now since I believe on Jesus, I have His righteousness.
Amen.
And I'm going to heaven because of what He did, not because of what I did. Hallelujah.
Right.
And this will blow you away. I know this almost sounds sacrilegious, but hear me through. Don't run out. Y'all lock the doors. If God were standing right here, He would not be any more righteous than you are as a Christian because you have His righteousness. It's not even your righteousness. It's His. I'm not talking about holy living. That's another subject altogether. I'm talking about being saved by the grace of God and by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, I got on the righteousness of God. I'm leaning on Jesus. I'm leaning on the everlasting arms. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Amen.
Woo!
Glory to God.
Okay. Fix and get real excited now. Y'all ready for this? I don't know if y'all are ready for this. This just may be too good for you. I don't know. Can you really handle this? Are y'all ready for this?
Yeah.
Huh? Okay. Okay. 12th verse. Therefore. You know, when you see therefore, you ought to stop and see what it's there for. Therefore, meaning all he said was leading up to this. In light of all that, I want to say this. Paul was great about doing that. He just kept talking. You know, one time he said, finally, brethren, in Philippians, and 44 verses later he closed. Had a hard time closing out, you know. Okay, therefore, 12th verse. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world. That's a fascinating statement. That's a power-packed statement. Theologically full of information. Use a big word. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world. Now, sin entered the world through the one man, Adam. That's what he's talking about. Sin entered the world in the Garden of Eden. You know, way back there in Genesis, the third chapter, where he ate of the mango. Well, you know, it's a mango. Because it says that man eat mangoes, right? Man had to go. So he ate of whatever it was, tree of knowledge of good and evil. And it says here, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, thus death spread to all men because all sinned. And that's an interesting way to state it, because he's not saying we have all morally sinned, although we have. The point he's making is that we've all sinned because we all came through Adam. And Adam being responsible for the whole human race and being the father of all mankind as we know it, passed his sin to the whole human race.
Amen.
That's what he's saying. And so sin came into the world because of Adam. Not because you sinned or I sinned. The Bible says we've all sinned, come short of the glory of God. Well, actually, we all sinned in Adam. We all sinned by just being born here. What is our problem? You are your problem. What? Huh? No, we have found the problem. He is us. Okay? See, this is the problem. The problem is us. It's just who we are. We are a doomed race. Now, there's hope. I'm gonna pull you out of this hole. Stay with me, okay? I won't leave you there. But we are a doomed race. We were born into a fallen race. Why? Because of Adam. Through Adam, all have sinned. Well, how'd I get out of that? Well, you'd have to, the only way to get out of that would be born again. Couldn't I be good? No, you can't be good enough because you are the problem. But everybody is the problem. It's not just one or two, it's all of us. So Jesus came and died for everybody. Amen? And justified everybody that calls on him, accepts him, that's willing to be born again. Woo! Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, thus death spread to all men because all sinned, because everybody came through Adam. And he makes an interesting point here, because he says in the 13th verse, for until the law, sin was in the world. The law meaning Moses, when he brought the law, the Ten Commandments. You know, Moses is the only man to ever break all Ten Commandments at one time. And if I get to heaven, he doesn't look like Charlton Heston, I'm going to be upset. I can tell you that right now. I grew up with that picture of Charlton Heston, the Ten Commandments. I mean, hey. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? Okay, all right. But what he's saying is here, the law which came by Moses, see, until the law, sin was already in the world. Sin was already here before the law came.
Yeah, it was.
But sin is not imputed where there's no law. In other words, how could God say, thou hast sinned, if he has not said, thou shalt not? That's what he's saying. And so we didn't have a thou shalt not until the Ten Commandments came, and yet we were still being told, thou hast sinned. Sin was in the world before the law. So, see, it's not just an issue of morality. No, I think we're an immoral bunch and we need help. Stay with me. But that's because of our nature. And what we need is our nature changed. Y'all catching this? And just morality and immorality is not the issue. The dividing line between us and the world is not we're moral, they're immoral. Oh, come on. No, that's not it. Come on. I know some guys that are lost that are pretty moral. I know some guys that are saved that need some help. And I'm sure not advocating living immorally. You understand, I believe in holy living, and I teach on it and preach on it, but I'm just making a point here. I'm not saved by moral living. I'm saved because I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what saved me. Are you with me? But the divine line between us and the world is not morality. Although it should be evident, the church should be more holy. There's no question there. But you know, we can still sin. You can lie, and I can lie. And are you with me? Thank God we've got forgiveness. But what separates us from the world? You know, if you stutter, you get tongue tangled, you got to have a big vocabulary. What separates us from the world, the line that divides us from the world, is faith. We believe, they don't. That's what kept you from God. You didn't believe. And then at one point, you did believe. And so what divides us from the world is we believe in Jesus, they don't believe in Jesus. We've accepted Him. Now, that changed us. We accepted what Jesus did for us because we couldn't be good enough to get there. We could not do enough good deeds. We couldn't help enough little old ladies across the street to get to heaven. It wasn't going to happen. Even if we got run over in the middle of the street helping a little old lady across the street, we'd still go to hell if we had not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Because of Adam's sin, death came. Y'all see that? Death didn't come because of my sin. Death came because of Adam's sin. And because I'm part of mankind, I am born in sin. I need to be born again. So it says this 13th verse, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam. In other words, everybody didn't do what Adam did. Are you kidding? But they died. They all died from Adam to Moses, and there still wasn't the law, and there still wasn't the Ten Commandments. Yet people were still dying. Why were they dying? They didn't sin like Adam sinned. They sinned in Adam because they're all born through Adam. One thing you see in Genesis, the first chapter, is the law of like kinds. Of course, automatically refutes evolution and automatically refutes Darwinism right off the bat. There's a problem with Darwinism and evolution, and the problem is real simple. It's wrong. Okay. I mean, I hadn't been around a long time, but I know cats give birth to kittens and cows give birth to cows and dogs give birth to dogs, and I've never really seen it any different. I've never seen a man come out of the jungle. You know, just hadn't happened. But the law of like kinds demands that whatever it is gives birth to whatever it is. Tree bearing seed after its own kind. Are you with me? Fish after their own kind. After the like kind law. You see that all through Genesis 1 where God created everything. And that's why God told Noah he had to get all those animals back on the ark, because God wasn't going to make any more animals. He put within them the ability to reproduce themselves when He made them, and He wasn't going to make any more. So Noah had to get the animals in the ark because they had within them the ability to reproduce themselves. And he had to get two of every kind, seven of some, and so on and so forth. Well, the problem with this is that if everything reproduces after its kind, once Adam sinned and became lost and separated to God, that's all he could reproduce, is people that were lost and separated from God. The law of like kinds demands it. Amen? So in Adam all sinned, and so our problem is our birth. Our problem is this human race that we're a part of, this doomed human race. 13th verse. For unto the law sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. Oh, you better buckle up because it's fixing to get good. As we say in Texas, it's fixing to get good. Adam was a type of him who was to come. Adam was a type of Christ. What do you mean? Everybody was included in Adam, and somebody's coming that everybody's going to be included in too.
Amen.
But instead of the bad, it's going to be the good.
That's right.
Just like everybody in Adam is going to die, everybody in Christ is going to live. Adam was a federal agent. He was a representative of mankind. Jesus is a federal agent. He's a representative of all those in Him. And so you have a choice which one you want to be in. You don't have a choice being an Adam when you're born, but you do have a choice to be in Christ. To be born out of Adam into Christ. And in so doing, you can be saved. Ooh, hallelujah. Okay, let's read on. 15 verse. The free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense, Adam sinned, many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of God of one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. Through Adam's sin, all died. Through Jesus' righteous act, all will be saved that believe on Him. Woo! How many of you believe in Jesus? It is your faith in Him and your faith alone that's going to save you. It is your trust in Him and your trust alone that's going to save you. Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3rd chapter, the 3rd verse, He said, Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's interesting. Except a man be born again. What's that all about? In fact, Nicodemus even questioned him. He said, how can a man be born the second time and enter his mother's womb? In essence, Jesus told him that wasn't what he was talking about, and that wouldn't help you anyway because that's your problem. He said, that which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. He said, except a man be born of the water, flesh, and of the spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So you've got to be born twice to live forever. Think about it. If you're born once, only one time in this earth, you're going to die twice. You're going to die physically and you're going to die forever in hell, the second death. So you can live once, die twice, or how's that? You can be born once and die twice, or you can be born twice and live forever. It'll all make sense one day. And when it does, call me and explain it to me because I'm confused. But anyway, okay, let's get back to Scripture here. Moving right along. 16 verse. And the gift, everybody say the gift.
Yeah.
That's important. That's a word you see quite often too. The free, something offered. Salvation is a gift. It's not something you earn. You can't be good enough to get it. You can't work for it. You can't pay for it. You can't be nice enough. It's something God offers. It's a gift. It's a free gift. That's what it is. God so loved the world, He gave. Now, it's up to you to take it or not. I was preaching one time in the mountains of India. It was not too far from the mountains of Manimuli. That really is a place. Actually, no, I flew to South India, Trivandrum. I went to Mavalakira. And I preached there in Pathankot, and I went up the coastline and from Cochin and Alapi and Trichur. And I was, these are real places. I'm not making this up, okay? And the language was Malayalam. That was the language. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. And Malayalam is Yeshu Paranu Niantane Vadim Sadim Jivanumaku. Okay. So I was preaching. We had gone as far as we could in a car. And then we got in a jeep and we crossed a little stream and we went as far as we could in a jeep. And in India, there's just people everywhere. I mean, they are everywhere. There's a billion people in India. It's about a third the size of the United States. There are people everywhere. You can go up in the mountains and the jungles. In the South India, it's mountainous and it's jungle. It's a lot of palm trees, coconut trees, and so on. But anyway, we'd gone as far as we could in all these different vehicles. And then we crossed a river in a canoe and I climbed up the side of this mountain with this interpreter. And some other guys with him from some Indian guys, because there's a lot of Indians in India. And went up on the side of this mountain and preached in this village. They had a thatched roof church there. And five Hindu ladies with a dot in their foreheads. Why is that funny? I don't know why that's funny. But anyway, they came forward in the invitation. And I never will forget what I explained to them, real simple message of coming to Jesus. I had a glass of water there, and it was so funny. Their electricity's funny, and they have electricity everywhere. I mean, I don't care if you go in the mountains, there's electricity. But it's not real dependable. The current's funny. They had a microphone hooked up, and when I talk into it, it's like open air. We had this thatch roof. When I talk into it, the light would go dim. And then it would come back on when I wouldn't talk. It was like pulling the current, you know. And I had this glass of water because it's just blistering hot over there. I mean, there's no air conditioner or anything. Even with electricity, it's not dependable. So I said, this is a glass of water. If I were to offer it to you, I would be a giver. But I wouldn't be a giver to you unless you came up and received it out of my hand. And I explained that's how salvation was. God gave His Son. It was a free gift, and He's offering it to you. But see, He doesn't give it to you until you receive it. It's potentially given to you. It's potential salvation for you, but you've got to make a move, and you've got to make a step. Just like you'd have to come receive this out of my hand, God is calling you to come and receive the gift of eternal life from His Son. And I never forget it, those five Hindu ladies that came up front and turned their life over to God. And it's major over there when they do that. Very major. Because they families disown them. I mean, they just count them as dead. Sometimes they even have funerals for them when they convert to the Christian faith. But we saw a lot of people get saved. But I just remember specifically that sermon. Eternal life is a gift. That's what he's saying. It's the free gift. It's something you can't earn. It's something you can only receive. You can only call for it, ask for it, and reach out and receive it by faith. It's not something you earn. It's not something you're good enough to do or have or attain by your own ability. And he says here, the free gift. The gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment came from one offense, his sin, the sin of Adam. That resulted in condemnation and condemned us all. But the free gift, which came from many offenses, all of our sins, resulted in justification or us being made righteous because of what Jesus did. 17th verse. For if by one man Adam's offense death reigned through the one Adam, much more, those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through one, Jesus Christ. Isn't that good? I have received the gift of righteousness. I didn't earn it. I reached out and received it. And I got it through one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense, 18th verse, judgment came to all men because of Adam's sin, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, that's Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. Man, it's all Jesus. Amen? Jesus is the Lord of all, or He's not Lord at all. Your faith's got to be totally in Him, or stick the fork in, you're done. It's over. It is only because of what He did that you are going to heaven and I'm going to heaven. Now, that is good news. That is great news. Because there's just nothing I could have done to get out of that sin. Adam's sin was so powerful, it had such a clutch, a grab on me that I could not get out from under it. There's nothing I could do. I had to be born again. And I'm saying this, I'm not preaching eternal security, although I believe I'm eternally secure. I believe if you want to go to hell, God will let you go to hell. Stay with me. Are you listening to me? But I believe I'm eternally secure because I trust in Jesus, and I don't plan on not trusting in Jesus. But if I go to hell, it won't be because of some sin I commit. It'll be because I cease to believe in Him. Amen? Make sense? Because I'm not going, I didn't go to hell because of sin I committed. I was going to hell because of sin Adam committed. And I'm not going to heaven because of righteous acts I commit. I'm going to heaven because of righteous acts Jesus commits. Now here's the catch. As long as I believe in Jesus, I'm going to heaven. If at some point in my life I cease to believe in Him, I will go to hell. I don't plan on that. How about you? Okay. Well, what about sin? Well, if you sin long enough and you keep sinning long, who knows, it may affect your faith, but your sin's not going to take you to hell. Your lack of faith in Jesus will. And sin will always take you further than you want to go. So why go there? Does that make sense? Because the idea that God's going to send me to hell because of a sin I commit after I'm saved, well, why didn't He let me go to heaven? Because of good deeds I do while I'm lost. The power of Jesus to save me is greater than the power of Adam's sin to keep me lost. It's all a matter of my faith. Y'all getting it? I'm going because of one man, Jesus. In fact, the Bible says that, and let me close with this. Goodness gracious. We're not going to get through with this quick. 1 Corinthians 15. Turn there, if you will, real quick. Y'all still love me? Hey, got to love me. Don't have a choice. I know you're thinking, I don't have to. I can still go to heaven. I believe in Jesus. I don't love you. I believe in Jesus. Yeah, but if you love God, you love the brethren. Okay. 1 Corinthians 15, notice this. 20th verse. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. He's the first of many. 21st verse. For since by man came death, that's Adam, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. That's why you need to be born again. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new.
Amen.
Amen. And now I'm no longer in Adam. I'm in Christ. Because I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, 1 John 5:1, is born of God. That's the birth that gets us to heaven. It was our birth in this earth that's taken us to hell. It's our birth from heaven that's taken us to heaven. Hallelujah. It's the man Adam that caused us to be lost. It's the man Jesus that caused us to be born again. God became a man and died for our sins. And hallelujah, I'm going to heaven.
Praise God.
Amen.